never rests.
What's up? What's up? Thursday morning here on the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Roos. He's Jeremy Johnson. We are with Dogs HQ. We appreciate you tuning in today. A lot to talk about on the recruiting front, Jeremy. It doesn't seem like it's slowing down in any regard there. We've got a lot to talk about there. But first, we got to give a shout out to our friends at American Pride Bank. Look, if you're looking for localized banking solutions, American Pride Bank, the place to be. They have you talking to decision makers at each and every step along the way, whether it's personal banking, small business loans, et cetera, et cetera. Find out how they can get your banking needs taken care of today. Branches in Athens, Alpharetta, online at AmericanPride.bank. Get with them today and see how they can help you. They are a member FDIC and an equal opportunity lender. It's the Georgia Show here on Thursday, and Jeremy, like I said, man, things never seem to be slowing down when it comes to Georgia Bulldogs and the recruiting trail. Two more big decisions on tap for the Georgia Bulldogs this upcoming weekend, plus one of the top players in America has cut his list just a little bit. But before we get into that, I do want to talk about these upcoming decisions. We've got two decisions on Saturday, and we're going to lead things off with Caden Prothrow, five-star tight end out of Bowdoin High School. This guy has been on the Georgia radar for about as long as anybody out there, man. It feels like we've been hearing his name the entire cycle when it comes to the Georgia Bulldogs. Big, long guy. Getting ready to put the profile up here, but tons of height on this guy. And a lot of people, Jeremy, I'm curious for your thoughts on this. A lot of people believe that this guy may not be your traditional inline tight end. Maybe he is used a little bit as an X receiver, kind of used all around the field as a weapon. You've had a chance to see Prothrow in person a few times. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on this guy as a player?
Yeah, I definitely think that you, when you watch him, is he can play in multiple positions. And I think people who think that he can, you know, maybe play the receiver position are kind of onto something. And that may even be what the plan is, you know, as far as, I mean, not just with Georgia, but maybe even Texas and these other schools, Florida. I mean, they've had guys do the same thing. You know, obviously Kyle Pitts was a guy at Florida that, you know, is playing for the Atlanta Falcons right now. He was not the traditional tight end as well. So, you know, there's some history there as well. So I think you watch him. He's got that height. He's got that twitch, that ability to get on top of you and go up and make plays at six. I mean, he's listed at 6'5" and a half, which is basically 6'6" with the hair. So, you know, that's a guy that can go up and get the football. I mean, today's football, the coverages are so close and guys are, you know, trained so well to be able to play in coverage early on in their career. So, like, just being able to just throw it up to a dude and he just have the height advantage, that's valuable.
Absolutely. And, I mean, you know, the thing is, too, I'm sure he is a capable and willing blocker, but at, you know, 216, he's not exactly, he's not Darnell Washington, let's say that. he's a bit slender for the position, and so there's a number of ways that this guy can be used. And that seems to have been the approach that George has taken all along when it comes to Caden Prothrow, is that, you know, look, we can use you. We use it a lot when we talk about the running back position. James Cook was one of these guys. You think of Dwight Phillips, the offensive weapon. You know, this is a guy who kind of feels like he can fit into that mold, although not necessarily always coming out of the backfield. Georgia in the mix. You mentioned Texas, Jeremy, and there seems to be some noise that we've heard around the Longhorns here, I guess, in the last week or so. It feels like the buzz has picked up precipitously there. Texas has missed on some guys. Let's just call it what it is. Braden Rouse, Xavier Griffin. It's not been the greatest run for the Longhorns here. So there is the thought that they may be willing to kind of step up and get involved. I'm curious what you've heard on the end of Texas and Prothrow going into this decision.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Texas is going – they're going to make their shot. They're going to make their run, and they have. And I think, you know, Georgia's still – you know, been steady. And I think Georgia still is, you know, the team that kind of has the lead a little bit here. And I put in a prediction maybe a month ago, and I don't really see anything that kind of made me change that, you know, that pick just yet. But Texas being involved, I mean, it's almost that, I mean, I wouldn't, post-traumatic, you know, reaction to the Justice Terry situation where, you know, we kind of heard stuff similar to this kind of leading into that decision. But, you know, I don't know if this situation is the same just because, you know, I feel like, first of all, we got 6 months before signing day. But also, I think Pro Throw is, you know, is definitely a guy that Georgia's prioritizing. He feels that love from Georgia. So.
Yeah, and there's been
we'll see what happens. I don't think it's over. I don't think it's a decision.
There's been some discussion along the way, Jeremy. You know, look, Georgia has two tight ends in this class already committed. You've got Braden Fogle just came into the fold, you know, just last week. There has been some undercurrent, I guess, some buzz, not from us, from other sides regarding that Georgia perhaps is full at tight end, and that wouldn't make sense for Pro Throw. I think that the way that they plan to use him kind of offsets that, in fact, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I mean, you look at the two other guys that are committed. I mean, their skill sets are very different. So, I mean, and obviously Georgia plays so many guys. I mean, Oscar Dill, Lawson Lucky, and you know, Ben Yurcich last year all found impact Georgia's offense positively in a lot of different ways. So I think you'll see even more of that this year with the group they have this year with Riddell involved. So I mean I don't think that's necessarily the issue with Georgia's tight end class right now, because all three can do different things and they all do different things really well.
Yeah. Oh, no question about it. It's a deep cycle for that position, and Todd Hartley has kind of proven himself time and time again. I said it on the board, man. Todd Hartley is the greediest MF for a lot. There's no doubt in my mind when it comes to that. He just does not stop. When he wants a guy, when he wants a couple of guys, he's going to go in and get them. And that relationship, Jeremy, I'm curious. You know, you've spoken to Pro Throw a few times about this. What is the Todd Hartley, you know, appeal? What about Georgia's offense? You know, they've done, like you said, they use a lot of guys at this position. How's that kind of factoring in with Pro Throw in this decision?
Yeah, I mean, Todd Hartley has been recruiting this guy really hard. I mean, there's a connection. There is, you know, a lot of respect for what he has been able to do. Brock Bowers is the one we all talk about. I mean, that's probably one of the best tight ends to ever play college football. But you start to think about guys like Charlie Warner, I'm blanking on his name. John Fitzpatrick, when Kirby Smart and those guys first got there, and you start to look at Lawson Lucky and Oscar Dill. I mean, those guys are gonna play on Sunday. I mean, it's not, and Darnell Washington. All of these guys are very different in what their roles are, and I think people get caught up in, oh well, you know, Brock Bowers is a super freakazoid that catches a lot of passes, but Charlie Warner just signed a he's been in the NFL almost 6 years now, just consistently making good money because he does a lot of things that tight ends are asked to do that aren't necessarily the most heralded things. But I mean, I'm a tight end and I'm like, well, maybe I'm not going to catch 80 passes, you know, a year. I can still go to Georgia and find a career where I can make a lot of money. So I think that is intriguing. I mean, I'm sure Caden Prothro will probably be a guy that catches passes, but I mean, if he isn't, he's 6'6". I mean, maybe he can learn and develop into a guy that does more of the traditional things under a guy like Todd Hartley. So I think that plays a role, but then also just the connection with him and you know, Todd Hartley, you know, really prioritizing him. I think that's been big for Kate.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and Bowden, not necessarily, I wouldn't say that's Longhorn territory out there in Bowden, Georgia. They play some good football out there. There's no question about that. Pro Throw set to decide on Saturday, but he's not the only Georgia target. The four-star DB Tyreek Green also will be making his call. What do they call him? Boogie? T-Boogie?
Ty Boogie.
Ty Boogie. There you go. He's got a big decision to make here as well. Four-star guy in his own right, number 165 in the industry ranking. 5'10 and a half, 190. To me, that kind of screams maybe star at the next level. I don't know necessarily that, you know, he's this kid. When you turn the film on, Jeremy, what stands out to me? Physicality. He's a guy who absolutely will come up and smack you in the mouth. And that's something Kirby Smart and company have prioritized. Another guy I know you've seen multiple times. Your take on Tyreek Green?
Yeah, I think Tyreek Green is probably – he's a quiet guy, but I think he's one of the more underrated players in this class nationally. I mean, we have him at on three ranked at 89 overall. I mean, he's probably one of the best football players Georgia's recruiting in this class, period. Personally, I really enjoy watching this guy play football because he's very physical, as you mentioned. So the other thing about him is his speed. He's able to play sideline to sideline as a guy that can play the star, that can play that deep safety role that, you know, his speed is able to – he's able to go from one side of the field, and he'll come across the entire football field and get there in time to make a big, impactful hit. That guys like that create turnovers. In coverage, you know, being able to go track the football, but then also in those moments where you get a pile, he'll come in and level the pile and free the football. So, you know, I've seen the Javon Bullard comparison thrown out there, and I kind of think, hey, that's kind of what I look at when I see 5'10 and 190. And he might be heavier than that now. And this is also a guy that plays running back on the high school level, so he's very instinctual when it comes to what offenses are trying to accomplish against him. He's also got that running back physicality about him as well. So this is a guy that I personally love watching play the game. I think that Georgia has prioritized him and loved his game since he was – I mean, he got his offer when he was in ninth grade, and they've been high on him ever since. So this is one of those guys you have earmarked as like, okay, there's a reason they want him, and he's getting ready to make a big decision.
Yeah, that was something. I'm glad you brought that up because that's one of the things. If you're not familiar with Tyreek Green's name, he's been on the Georgia radar for a long, long time. This is a guy that they have been involved with even back in his Kell days. It was not always at Buford, but he has made his way there. Jeremy, this is a big defensive back class. I mean, Georgia is taking a number of guys in this one. Makes sense. It was a little bit of a shorter cycle last year, particularly where cornerback was concerned. But Dante Williams and Travaris Robinson doing some major work there. What's the connection there with Green and this Georgia DB room in terms of the coaching staff?
Travaris Robinson has been a big part of his recruitment. I think Travaris Robinson was the one who offered him at Alabama. And also, he might have even been involved with him a little bit at Miami as well. So Miami's in his final group a lot because of Travaris Robinson, the initial point of contact there. So he really likes him. I know they spent a lot of time together. He's come out to watch him throughout the years, and he's also been heavily recruiting him. Kirby Smart has been involved in this one as well. So when he told me that kind of told me what their priority level with him, because Kirby Smart only gets involved in recruitments that are very important to that class. Obviously, you think of KJ Bolden was one of the first that I remember saying, oh, wow, you know, Kirby Smart's involved here. And this is one of those recruitments to Kirby Smart. And that tells you everything you need to know, because, you know, he ain't got a lot of time to be on the phone just, you know, with guys that he, you know, obviously they like all these guys, but like, you don't see it very often. That's what I'm trying to say. But I think that there's a big connection there. They've done a lot to make sure that he feels comfortable in Athens when he comes to visit. So it's a big one, and it's a good relationship, and it's a strong connection there.
Well, you mentioned another one of those boogeymen on the recruiting trail, though, in Miami. Obviously, that's a name that's always going to perk ears up when people hear about the Hurricanes being involved with a guy. Again, kind of like Pro Throw, right? We've heard some buzz around the Canes going into this one. You know they're not going to give up anything easy. I'm curious, though, how do you kind of see this one taking shape? I believe we actually just saw a couple of picks come in from Sam Spiegelman and Adam Gorney regarding Georgia being the ultimate destination. But like I said, man, people, they hear the Canes, they're gonna kind of scratch their heads a little bit and wonder.
Yeah, you never can rule them out. I mean, even – excuse me, even if no matter how this goes on Saturday, you know, there's a couple days, there's a couple months until signing day. So some of these guys are going to continue to be courted by these other schools. So, I mean, if this goes the opposite way of Georgia, I mean, I think that will be the case for Georgia as well, because this is one of those guys that's very important to what they do. Obviously, you want to have a good player in that star position. And I think that, you know, Georgia's the school that has a lot of buzz right now. I mean, they have for a while, and they've been a program that he's had his eyes on. But, you know, you just never know. I mean, Miami being involved, and I think Miami has done a lot to recruit him as well. So today I like Georgia, you know, but we will find out for sure on Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I think that he is a guy, like you said, they've really prioritized Tyree Green throughout this recruitment, and a guy that, you know, I don't feel like gets the same talk as some of the other guys in this class, but Georgia has never looked at him that way. They've always been real, real heavy with this guy. Could be a huge Saturday for the Georgia Bulldogs in that regard, no doubt. Look, if you're going to spend your Saturday not at Dogs HQ, I don't know why you wouldn't be at Dogs HQ, checking us out, getting all the scoop on all of this, because we'll have you fully covered on all things Georgia recruiting. But if you're going to spend it somewhere else, maybe you're going to be on the lake, maybe you're going to be out on the trail hiking around, you're going to need a good pair of shades. Sunheist.com, the place to go for your shades. And they do a tremendous job over there. Code DAWGSHQ20, DAWGSHQ20, get you 20% off your first purchase at sunheist.com. They've got a number of different styles over there. They got some that fit my big ass head, which is crucial. But also to warranty on the frames, injected polarization in the lenses. And like I've said before, the customer service, to me, what really sets them apart. I understand you're a little nervous maybe buying some sunglasses you haven't tried on yet. Well, order a couple pairs. They do free returns. It's seamless. It's easy. You can see if they are the glasses for you. And my guess is once you try them on, you won't be sending them back. Get over to sunheist.com. Use code DAWGSHQ20 for 20% off. Support a local business. They are just outside of Athens. Big dog people really, really love the Peach State, and they do their best to support in-state. So definitely get over and check out our friends at Sun Heist. Jeremy, while the decision isn't set, there is another decision perhaps on the horizon in the very near future. We got word yesterday, Tyler Atkinson down to 4 schools in this one, and it is – I mean, it's a stellar group. It's an outstanding group of schools for him. Not that you would expect any different from acting up, but I'm curious. You know, looking at that list, Jeremy, this is a guy. God, you mentioned Tyreek Green getting his offer in ninth grade. Atkinson got his in like 7th, I think. You know, he was a guy that has been on the radar forever. I kind of can't believe it's almost over for him, because it's been, he's just such a fixture on the recruiting trail. Looking at these 4 schools, Jeremy, you've talked to Atkinson many times, seen him in action many times. Let's talk about this group for him, because it's, you know, you hear the Texas buzz, especially with the Xavier Griffin, Braden Rouse stuff. Georgia has always been there. Clemson is another school that it seems like a little bit of buzz behind the scenes. You know, you could kind of see, and I could kind of see that actually kind of lines up with the brand idea as well. You know, I kind of consider those the big 3 in this race personally, but I'm curious your feeling of this list and how it all fits in for Tyler Atkinson.
Yeah, I mean, I would not be surprised if he picked up a hat of any one of these 4 teams. I mean, I think he's done a really good job of keeping himself kind of vague about, you know, exactly what it is that he's looking for. I mean, when you interview him, he's a great interview, but he's never really, you know, tipped his cap one way or the other. So it's kind of hard to read in that sense, but I mean, obviously Georgia's gotten him on campus probably 20 times. It seems like there's a guy in every class that we talk about like this. Last year it was Elijah Griffin, the year before KJ Bolden. And, you know, sometimes those guys just pick the school that, you know, they've been to the most. And, you know, I think, you know, Georgia's done a really good job of recruiting him. That would kind of be, you know, the school with the most buzz right now. But Texas, the Texas noise is real. It's not, and it's not just, you know, what everybody thinks it is. It's not just, oh, this is clearly just NIL driven. No, that's not how this guy and his family operates. It's never been that way for them. So, I mean, when you start to talk about the Clemson situation, Clemson being a real threat, I think they are also someone that has been really considered. When you start to consider that, hey, Mickey Conn was the one who basically started that Grayson program over there and kind of got them going. So I think that's a real option for him. And then you start seeing what they've done with Sammy Brown. You've seen Barrett Carter go over there. Those are two Georgia guys. Those guys have grown up in Georgia, and that Tyler Atkinson is familiar with those people. So I'm sure he's reached out. I'm sure he's got some insight on Clemson, and he knows exactly what he's getting over there. So Oregon, I mean, Dan Lanning was there when Georgia offered him. So he's known Dan Lanning just as long as he's known Lynn Schumann. So there's a real relationship there. And obviously, you know, there's obviously big opportunities off the field there as well. So it's a really good four, as you kind of stated a minute ago. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised with either four of them at the moment. They all fit him football wise. They all fit his brand. They all fit him for what he wants culturally. So, right now, Georgia is the school that kind of has the most buzz and makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this guy, you're not going to find more guys who are more well-versed because of the time he spent in Athens with Glenn Schumann. I mean, this guy knows Glenn Schumann in and out, what Glenn Schumann's done. He sat back and had a front row seat to all of this Glenn Schumann development over the last few years. And that's crucial. I mean, that's a really big thing here. And like you said, you know, the NIL aspect of this is going to be very interesting. I don't know that it's going to be a sole decider by any stretch of the imagination, because this is a guy who's thinking well beyond college football, and rightfully so. You know, the guy I told Jake Rowe, the guy that comes to mind for me when I think about Tyler Atkinson, not necessarily from a play style, but from how long he's been on the radar and how professional he's kind of handled this, it reminds me a lot of Nolan Smith. Nolan Smith was a guy, he picked up that offer in eighth grade, and it just continued, kind of snowballed from there. And so he's been on the scene so long, he knows how to handle this stuff. Oh, also, Tyler Atkinson has a marketing team behind him, so he's getting some media training. This is not a guy who's kind of winging this with his uncle handling the recruitment, okay? This is a guy who knows what he's up to and has long been handling these things. That, to me, Jeremy, I hesitate to say that makes even more sense for Georgia, but it does feel that way to a degree for me, because this is a guy who is about his business. He's about, you know, expanding his personal brand, but also to Tyler Atkinson is a guy who, for all of his accolades, loves to play. He loves to play football, and he loves to get out there and really mix it up. And that's kind of the mentality, I think, that sets him apart from a lot of some of these superstar guys from time to time. You know, a lot of guys will buy into their own hype. I'm not saying Tyler Atkinson doesn't know who Tyler Atkinson is. He's read the articles we've written about him, I promise you. But at the same time, he's a guy who puts in the work continuously. And I know you've had a chance to see him several times. From a skill set perspective, Jalen Walker, is that a fair way to put this? I don't know. I mean, where does he kind of factor in? Because I think of him, again, we talked about this with Pro Throw, not necessarily as just he's not going to be an inside linebacker. He's not going to stand in the middle of your defense. He's going to be all over the place at the next level.
Yeah, no, I think you nailed that one. I don't know if Jalen Walker is the right comparison, like the person honestly, the personalities are very similar.
Yeah.
And the way they go about their business is very similar. Different types of body styles, in my opinion, but the role is very similar. I've had this discussion with a few people, kind of the player that I see when I watch Tyler Atkinson play is Fred Warner from the 49ers. I see a lot of, I don't really know what Fred Warner's skill set was in college. I kind of think of him as a guy who played the Jalen Walker role that morphed into being a Mike linebacker at the NFL level because his body changed. But I could see that. I definitely think if you get Tyler Atkinson on your football team, you line him up wherever you want to, because he can do everything. He's good in coverage. He can come out and he can strike in the middle of the field. He can take on guards and tackles. He can go out and play pass rusher. That was what he initially kind of came up to the high school level thinking he was going to be an edge. And he just kind of stayed in the middle of their defense. He also really understands football. He understands how to communicate with the people around him. So that makes him pretty much the jack of all trades as far as a linebacker. So Jalen Walker's role is a really good start for him. I think that's what he probably will do. At any of these schools that he goes to, that's what he will be doing initially, at least.
He's a special talent, and people I think sometimes get lost in this and say, oh, the Georgia linebacker room is so loaded. This is a guy you can afford to miss on. And look, I'm not going to say that the dynasty falls apart because you miss on one guy. There are only so many Tyler Atkinsons in the world, period. And in this class, he's one of one. I mean, the guy is an absolute freak athlete who, to me, the mentality just adds to it. He's operating on a different plane than a lot of guys who are going to walk in their freshman year of college.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think I wrote this the other day in the story I wrote. George is in search of that alpha of alphas. I mean, if you go to all these guys' high schools, they're the guys. You know, that's typically how it is with any of these guys. But, I mean, he walked in his freshman year at Grayson with 20 guys that are playing college football right now, and he kind of came out leading the pack as a freshman. So I don't take those little things that happens throughout someone's high school career as nothing. And I think, you know, you put him in a college locker room, and that happens again at some point for him. So there's only one of those guys every couple of years, and I think this is the guy for all four of these programs. This is why they're all going to the lengths that they're going to, because this is – you also get that in addition to having a jack-of-all-trades as a player. So,
you mentioned, Jeremy, something you wrote the other day, and I want to take us out on this. Major needs left in 2026. It was an interesting article because I don't know that I agreed fully with you, but that's not, we don't always have to agree on everything, but I'm curious, looking at this Georgia class as it stands, what's kind of jumping off the page to you in terms of how they need to finish this thing out? I mean, notwithstanding any of the guys we just talked, but you know, where's Georgia maybe lacking in the 2026 cycle?
I mean, I still think they need more defensive linemen, and it may just be because of the guys that are available. Obviously, Valdenson and Anthony London are two guys that I mentioned. You put those two guys with the James Johnson, the Carter Luckies, the Corey Howards, and that's a pretty stout rotation that you create for yourself. Maybe not next year, but the year after and the year after that and the year after that, because these guys are, I mean, Valdenson's got the upside of, you know, some of these guys that we talk about in Georgia lore at this point. When you start talking about championships and some of the guys that have been drafted really high, I'm not going to do the comparison thing because you just never know with these guys. But like the fact that, you know, that's a special football player, and it's pretty apparent of how special he can be. Anthony Lund is a guy that I consider that way as well. He may not have the size, he may not have the height right now, but I do think he's going to get bigger and stronger if he were to go to Georgia, or if he goes to Georgia Tech. This is a guy I think is going to play. He has a chance to play on Sundays. So I think when you have a chance to add those guys, you move mountains to do so, because there's only so many of them and every class does not have them. So to me, that was number one. Obviously, the running back position, you got Jay Lamar, who I think is one of the best running backs in the class. He's already committed. So if you got him, why not add another one? I mean, you got to be greedy if you want to win championships sometime. And I think that's where Georgia's thrived. They've been able to overstock positions and just beat people in with their sheer depth and talent. So, I mean, that's kind of where I came at it from, just with what was left.
See, my feeling is that after last cycle, and it's going to be hard because I really don't know that you can do it in this cycle because of how things have kind of played themselves out. I think Agboko has all the upside in the world at the offensive tackle position, but I do think you need another true OT in this class. I think you need a guy that you feel like is that guy. And now maybe that's offset if you feel like Juan Gaston can turn into that for you, and that kind of offsets a little bit. But, you know, last year was a little bit light in that regard. You had to take Dennis Uzichukwu late in the cycle to kind of fill that out. But I don't know that this is the right class to do it. I just think that you're never – to me, it's like defensive line. You said it perfectly. You just don't know where these guys are going to come from, how often you're going to be able to get them. So if you can go out and find another body, you need one on the offensive line. Just my take. I agree with you, though. The defensive linemen, stock them up and let God sort them out at the next level. You cannot have enough of these guys, man. They are in short supply, and everybody wants them, and everybody needs them. So take as many as you can while you can. That's my feeling as well. Guys, that's it for the Georgia Show on your Thursday. Appreciate you, Jeremy, being on with us today. Somebody got to hold down the fort while Jake Rowe and Rusty Mansell hang out in Cabo and party with Sammy Hagar do all the fine things that they do. We'll stay back and work. We're worker bees. That's what we do.
Yeah, we don't mind it. We don't have to go to the beach. We'll go to the beach in the fall when it's.
Yeah, I go to the beach in my mind. That's where. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back with you later this weekend, Sunday, probably, maybe Monday. I don't know. Stay tuned. Well, get over to Dogs HQ. We announce all this stuff over there. Appreciate you tuning in on your Thursday. We'll talk to you soon.